today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
Jesus died in our place. Jesus conquered sin and the grave and conquered over death. Now, sometimes people get confused. They say, well, didn't other people get raised from the dead? Yes, listen carefully. But they got raised from the dead back into their mortal bodies, only to die again. Jesus rose from the dead like no other had ever done and hasn't done since, in an immortal, eternal body.
Let's talk about breaking records. A basketball player scores more playoff points than anyone before. A baseball player hits more career home runs than had ever been hit. These are huge accomplishments. Today, Pastor John is going to bring us to something Jesus did better than anyone had ever done before. Something that puts him in a whole other category. Jesus was raised from the dead. People had been raised before, but Jesus did one thing none of them could do. He was raised into his immortal body. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, as he continues his message, The Rapture of the Church.
And when we go to sleep, we have all expectation to arise from our naps. An illustration of this is John chapter 11. Remember when Jesus found out that Lazarus had died? What did he say? No. He's only sleeping. And the disciples freaked out. They said, well, then he's good. If he's sleeping, that's a good sign he's getting better. No, Jesus said, no, you don't get it. He died. So Jesus used that metaphor, sleep, for Lazarus, who is dead. Why? Because he knows in a few hours, we're going to show up and I'm going to wake him from his nap. I'm going to wake him up. When Jesus said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came out of the grave, that, my beloved, is a picture of what's going to happen at the rapture. Graves are going to pop open all over the world, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. What an exciting truth this is, the resurrection of our body. So they're only sleeping. And then the third word is sorrow. Now, he doesn't say don't sorrow, but he says you don't need to sorrow as others who have no hope. So your heart is broken. You're sad because of the separation. You've laid your loved one in the grave, but you have hope in the midst of your sorrow. So even Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus before he raised him from the dead. And then the fourth word in verse 13 is the word hope. So they start off ignorant. They don't understand sleep. So they're filled with sorrow without hope. But Paul says, no, you have hope. It's not a hopeless sorrow. So the believer, even in death, think about that, has hope beyond the grave. Now this is actually leads me to my second point. And that is, we move from the problem of the rapture to the pillars of the rapture. Verse 14 in the first part of verse 15. Notice it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. So he makes a statement in verse 13. Don't sorrow as others have no hope. And here's the reason. Verse 14 and first part of verse 15. The reason we don't need to sorrow. Because we believe that Jesus died and he rose again. And that those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, notice that, this is believers who have died in Christ, God will bring with him. Every word, every phrase of these verses is important. Don't be worried about those who have died. They'll be coming back with Jesus to meet us in the clouds. You're going to see them again. How glorious. God will bring with them. And then he says, verse 15, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Stop right there. Now, there are three pillars for the hope of the rapture and for hope beyond the grave. The first one, if you're taking notes, is the death of Christ, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died, stop right there. That's the foundation of our hope. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Now, my King James Bible, it reads, if we believe. But the word if there is what's called a first-class condition, assuming the fact. So it could be translated, since we believe. He wasn't questioning whether they believed that Jesus died on the cross. He was affirming that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So what do Christians believe about Jesus dying on the cross? Christians believe that Jesus' death was a substitution for our sins. That he came in a body so that he could die in my place. That your sins and my sins were placed on Christ. He paid their penalty on the cross. So he was our substitute. He died in my place. That his death was a substitutionary death, paying for man, the creature's sin. And then notice the second pillar of the believer's hope is the resurrection of Christ, verse 14, and he rose again. So you have the death of Christ, then you have the resurrection of Christ. What do Christians believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? We believe that he died, he was buried, and 3 days later, what happened? So why should we fear death? Jesus took the sting out of death. Jesus died in our place. Jesus conquered sin and the grave and conquered over death. Now, sometimes people get confused. They say, well, didn't other people get raised from the dead? Yes, listen carefully. But they got raised from the dead back into their mortal bodies, only to die again. Jesus rose from the dead like no other had ever done and hasn't done since, in an immortal, eternal body. So Jesus' resurrection was conquering death, sin, and the grave. And the Bible says he becomes the first fruits of those who sleep. Christ is the first in order, or the prototype of our resurrection bodies. So what a blessed truth that is. The foundation of all our hopes, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And here's number three, I love it, verse 15. The revelation from Christ. So you have the death of Christ, you have the resurrection of Christ, and in verse 15, you have the revelation from Christ. Notice verse 15, for this we say unto you by what? The word of the Lord. So this is what's called biblical revelation. We can't know something unless God reveals it. What lies beyond death, God reveals it to us as his word. We don't know about this coming again of the Lord unless God reveals it to us. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So John 14 would come into play where Jesus revealed that he was coming again. 1 Corinthians 15, where he shows Paul the mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on mortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. He did that by revelation from the Lord. So the Bible is God's revelation to us. How important that is for us to remember. Now, this is only for those who are in Christ, the church. This is the foundation of our hope. Now, we move from the problem of the rapture, and the pillars of the rapture to now the participants of the rapture, verse 15b, the second half of verse 15. Read it with me. He says, we which are alive and remain, there's the first group, that the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are, here's the second group, asleep. These are the two groups that are going to participate in the rapture. Those who are alive and those who are dead. And that pretty much covers everybody, right? The Christians who have died, Christians who are living. The ones who have died aren't going to miss it. They're not going to be at a disadvantage. Those that are living will not going to miss it. They'll be alive and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So here's the two groups, alive in Christ, verse 15. We which are alive and remain. That's believers living at the time of the rapture. But I want you to note, Paul says we, so he would include himself. This indicates that Paul believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. As we move into chapter 5, we're going to be talking about the rapture in relationship to the tribulation and the end times. And we're going to be giving evidence from the Bible that the rapture happens before the tribulation. That's why in chapter 5, he says in verse 1, of the times, that is the chronology, and of the seasons, that is the characteristics, he says, you have no need that I write unto you. He goes on to say, for you know yourselves that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And we're going to study that. But those who are alive in Christ will participate in the rapture. It indicates Paul was looking for the Christ intimate return. And then those who are asleep in Christ, verse 15, which are asleep. So if a Christian dies before the rapture, they go immediately to be with Christ, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But their bodies, now I know this is where it seems just so far out. Their physical bodies will be resurrected and reunited with their soul and their spirit. And you will see them, you will know them. People say, well, we know each other in heaven. We're going to be dumber in heaven than we are here. We'll know each other. Well, what if they were cremated? You think that's a problem for God? You think God goes, oh, no. You shouldn't have done that. I mean, they may be thrown into the ocean with their bodies and then the fish eat them. What's he going to do? Oh, man, I wanted to resurrect them. What a bummer. How's this going to work? Is anything too hard for God? Then we don't have a problem here, right? If all power belongs to God, it's not reconstruction. It's resurrection. And he's going to raise that body from the dead. So don't worry about that resurrection body. So those who sleep in Christ, those are the participants. So the question is, will all Christians living at the time of the rapture be taken? The answer is yes, 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 yes. Those who died are with the Lord already. They're going to come back and meet us in the clouds. Their bodies are going to be resurrected. Now, I don't believe in what's called a partial rapture. I don't believe that the rapture is only for super spiritual, deeper life saints. And you'll hear preachers say that sometimes. Man, if you're not really walking with God, if you're not walking in holiness, and you're not really looking up. And I heard one preacher literally say, I can't believe it to this day, that if you're not physically looking up when the rapture happens, you won't go. So I'm supposed to live my whole life like this, walking around. Hi, good to meet you. I can't look at you because the rapture may happen. I don't want to miss it. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, if you have been born again, you will go up in the rapture. What if I'm not spiritual enough? You're in Christ. How much more spiritual can you get? His righteousness has been imputed to you. Positionally, you are perfectly righteous in Christ. Now, don't take me wrong. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, that you can go out and live a sinful life, and you can go out and do whatever you want and expect to get raptured. But you should, if you have that mentality, then you need to make sure you're saved. Because if you're really born again, you're not going to want to do those things. He's changed your heart. He's changed your desires. There's been a transformation of your life. So if you're wanting to live in sin, I question your salvation. But you're either a saint or you ain't. And Jesus is going to take his whole bride or none of the bride. The bride of Christ is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now we move to the fourth section, from the problem, the pillars, the participants, to the plan of the rapture. And this is where we break it down, how it's all going to happen. The plan of the rapture, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. There it is. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be what? With the Lord. Isn't that good news? We're going to be with the Lord. Now, I want to put this into four categories, if you're taking notes. First is a return, and there are five things about the return. First of all, in verse 16, the Lord himself is coming back. He's not sending a representative. He is coming back himself. Remember in Acts chapter 1 where the angels appeared and when Jesus ascended and he struck up a conversation with the disciples, why are you looking into heaven? This same Jesus you saw go will come back the same way. What great words. The same Jesus, the very same Jesus we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is coming for you. Not someone else, not a representative. He's not going to send some angel, hey, Gabriel, go get him. He says, I'm going to go get him. That's my bride. And he's going to come for the church. How important that is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we saw that we're waiting for His Son from heaven. And then notice the second step of this return in verse 16, shall descend from heaven. So the Lord Himself shall descend from where? Heaven. John 14, in my Father's house. He's been there preparing a place. He's coming from heaven. And then notice the third plan, part of the plan. There'll be a shout. That word shout is the word command. It's a military command. He's going to command us, come up here. I think that's fascinating. And then fourthly, note the voice of the archangel. It's actually an archangel. We don't know if it's Michael or what archangel it is, but there'll be a shout from the Lord. There'll be an archangel. And then verse 16, there'll be the trump of God, a trumpet of God. Now, in those days, they used trumpets to raise people together, to convocate, to celebrate, and to give orders to march. So this trumpet of God. Now, don't confuse this trump of God in verse 16 with the seven trumpets of Revelation, or the last trump in the tribulation period. This is a totally distinct and separate trump. And it's interesting, in Revelation chapter 4, John says, I heard a voice from heaven as a trumpet, which said, come up here. And I believe the rapture happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, with that voice like a trumpet says, come up here. And then it moves, secondly, to resurrection. And we've already mentioned it, verse 16, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There it is. So in order, the resurrection of the dead saints' bodies will rise first. There are so many people that are confused about this statement. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I thought they were with the Lord. They are, but their bodies are in the grave. It's talking about their physical bodies. Their bodies are going to be resurrected. It's called the great getting up morning. I heard the true story about the Civil War when the soldiers would be out laying on the open fields and a snow would come in at night and the snow would cover them sleeping. So you could just see the mounds of their bodies. It looked like a graveyard. In the morning, they would blow the trumpet and one by one, the soldiers would wake up and come out of their snowy sleep. And what a picture, they said, that was of the resurrection morning. I never drive by a cemetery, but what I say, just hang tight. You're going to be resurrected. You're going to hear the voice of the Lord, the trumpet of God, a command from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is why this is so important to understand. They're with the Lord, but their bodies will be resurrected. How marvelous that is. Write down Romans chapter 8, verse 23, where Paul speaks about the redemption of your body. The redemption of your body. You've heard me mention salvation as three tenses, past, present, and future. The third phase, glorification, is the resurrection of your body. It's the glorification of your body. Our bodies right now, if you don't believe me, just go home, look in the mirror, have not been redeemed. They are degenerating quickly. Amen? But though the outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Amen? So Romans chapter 8, verse 23 tells us the redemption of our body. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, Paul says, I've already quoted, this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. Whenever I'm doing a service for someone who has died in Christ, this is music to my ears. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? You talk about hope. You talk about being able to live your life without fear. There's hope beyond the grave. Then it moves to rapture. So we have first return. We have secondly resurrection. We have thirdly rapture. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. It's the Greek word harpazo. And that word literally means to snatch up, to take up, by force, to snatch us up and to take us up and to catch us up by force. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, that it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of what? An eye. As fast as you can blink your eye, snap your fingers, you'll be changed. You'll be metamorphosized. You'll be glorified. And your body will be redeemed. And then it moves fourthly and lastly to reunion, verse 17. Catch this phrase, together with them. Together with them. Together with them. You see it? You're supposed to say yes. Okay, thank you. Who's the them? Your loved ones. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your aunts, your uncles, your loved ones who died trusting in Jesus. You're going to be with them, together with them. Reunion. See, the rapture has so many other doctrines that are linked together with it. Together with them. Right now, you are separated from them. But then you will be together with them. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. And all the saints will gather over there in their home beyond the sky. And the music we will hear will be glorious to declare. And we'll see Jesus. We'll see our loved ones. We'll embrace each other. We'll be reunited. So don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Jesus is coming again. Amen. This is the blessed hope of the believer, together with them, our loved ones who have died in Christ. Then notice verse 17. We'll meet them in the clouds. We'll meet them in the air. This is not the second coming. In the second coming, Revelation 19, we come back with the Lord to earth. In the rapture, we leave earth and meet him in the air, and he takes us right back to the Father's house. So this is a different event than the rapture of the church. And then notice verse 17, thirdly, and so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord, or face to face with Jesus. Now there's one last point in verse 18. We haven't finished. And that is the prophet of the rapture. So we have the problem of the rapture, the pillars of the rapture, the participants of the rapture, the plan of the rapture, and then the prophet of the rapture. Three things if you're taking notes. Comforts us, it cleanses us, and it compels us. Look at verse 18. Therefore, or wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't know about you, but just preaching this message this morning comforts my heart. The blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It comforts us. We'll see our loved ones again. There's hope beyond the grave. Secondly, and this is not in our text, but 1 John 3:3, it cleanses us. The Bible says, whoever has this hope purifies himself, even as he, that is Christ, is pure. The rapture is a purifying hope. He may come today. He may come before I wrap up this sermon. Every time I preach on the rapture, I'm praying it will get raptured while I'm preaching on the rapture. And you'll be able to say, that's powerful preaching. John was preaching on the rapture and it happened right there. But don't be left behind. If the rapture happened right now, would you still be sitting in the pew? Not get right with God.
We know that Jesus died as a substitution for our sins and that he rose again. Today, Pastor John brought us comfort and encouragement by talking about the return of Christ, the rapture. That's what will happen when he returns and we are all caught up in the sky with him. One day we shall be face to face with Jesus, alive with him in the resurrection. Our bodies will be transformed and we will live forever with the Lord.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this edition of Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller. For most of us, social media is a part of our daily routines. We want to encourage you to check out our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram page. All the links are in the top right corner of revival.tv.
Hi everyone, it's Pastor John. I'm so glad you're listening to Revival Radio. I want to encourage you to check out our website, revival.tv. There's a whole lot of great resources there that you can tap into with past programs and archived messages. If you're a student of the Word and want to study deeper God's Word, check out the website revival.tv.
Next time, Pastor John will lay out the truth of the judgment that comes before eternal life. When we come to the end of our life here on earth, we will stand before God at His judgment seat. The Bible shows us that it is then that God will separate those who believe in His Son from those who rejected Him. Are you ready for the day of the Lord? If you believe in the Son of God and have given your life to Him, that day is a day of hope. That's all we have time for today. Tune in next time as Pastor John continues teaching through his series, The Church in the Last Days, right here on Revival Radio.